From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, we look at the issue of member items and whether they're being revived in a new form. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on new poll numbers for Governor Cuomo, and funding is made available for recreational trails in the southern Adirondack region. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. State lawmakers said a few years ago that they would no longer permit the controversial member item program to continue. But as the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports, critics say the old system, which gave taxpayers money to legislators' pet projects, is being revived in a new form.
In 2010, then-Governor David Paterson and state lawmakers ended the controversial practice of member items, which in Congress is called earmarks. The funds historically gave favored lawmakers money for pet projects in their districts. Some lawmakers, though, went too far with their privileges. They funneled funds into not-for-profit entities that employed their relatives. Among those who abused the process, former Senate leader Pedro Espada of the Bronx, who's serving prison time. Even seemingly innocent grants to worthy community groups were in some cases subverted. Former Assemblyman Brian McLaughlin of Queens skimmed $95,000 out of what was supposed to be a fund for his local Little League teams. He told a court that he used the money instead to pay for personal expenses. He also went to jail. Now, questions have been raised about a new source of money that may still be used for lawmakers' favored projects. It's from a fund known as the State and Municipal Facilities Program. It was set up in 2013 by Governor Cuomo and the legislature to fund capital projects. Over $1 billion have been borrowed so far, but there's little information about actual projects.
From the very start, it's been clearly been looming as the next big capital pork pot.
E.J. McMahon, with the fiscal think tank The Empire Center, used the state's Freedom of Information laws to get a list of the projects, and he says it looks a lot like the old member items.
Whatever local project catches the notice of a legislator and looks like something that's got the right kind of local support to proceed with.
News organizations, including Politico New York, picked up on the story and found that the political parties in power in the legislature got a larger share of the money. While Democrats, who control the Assembly, received $34 million in projects, Assembly Republicans got just $2 million. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie defended the spending, saying it's for worthy items, including one in his own district.
If you want to call putting security cameras in a housing development that, you know, has a lot of crime, so be it. Give me another ham sandwich.
The senator who received the most money from the fund is the leader of its smallest faction, the Independent Democrats. Senator Jeff Klein has been a power broker between the chamber's Democrats and Republicans, at one point teaming up with the GOP to form a governing coalition. Klein's district got over $11 million for upgrades to parks and sports facilities, more than any other senator. Republican Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan defended Klein's projects. He says they were all vetted by agencies within the Cuomo administration.
I work well with Jeff Klein. He obviously has a penchant and a talent for picking out good projects in his area.
Senate Democrats, who are in the minority in the chamber, so far have received nothing. Flanagan says those allocations were made before he became leader in May, after the previous leader was arrested on corruption charges. And Flanagan says he's going to take another look at the distribution of the funds. Governor Cuomo, who helped lead the movement to get rid of member items when he was attorney general, got somewhat testy when asked about the program, saying the projects funded from the state municipal facilities program are nothing like the old member items.
Critics say a lot of things, but it's not what it is. I mean, factually, it's not, right? It goes to a government.
As to why majority party legislators saw more funds go to their districts, Cuomo says,
the majority has more power in the legislature. Yeah, that's what's called being the majority.
A spokesman for the governor's budget office, Morris Peters, told public radio over the summer that reports, including the Empire Center's assessment of how the grants are distributed, are not entirely accurate. Peters said the grant applications are subject to a rigorous agency review process and must also be ultimately approved by the budget office. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
New Yorkers are split on how well their governor is doing. But as we hear in this report from the Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas, when it comes down to the issues, clear majorities emerge.
A new Siena poll shows citizens haven't budged. Half of all New Yorkers still see Governor Andrew Cuomo in a favorable light. Siena pollster Steve Greenberg.
Governor Andrew Cuomo right now is viewed favorably by half of New York voters, 50%. He's viewed unfavorably by 42%. That is identical to his favorability rating from September, completely unchanged, 50 to 42%. It seems that Governor Cuomo has reached a new plateau. Over the last several months, his favorability rating has hovered around 50. His unfavorability rating has hovered in the low 40s.
The governor's performance rating has also been staying the course. 41% of those polled continue to believe the second-term Democrat has been doing a fair or excellent job. 58% rate his job performance as fair or poor. Greenberg says the numbers have remained consistent over the last several months, prompting a tweak to the survey.
What Siena did this month is we asked voters how they think Cuomo is doing his job on a variety of specific issues. So on an issue like improving New York's economy, only 35% of New Yorkers give him a positive job performance rating compared to 63% who give him a negative job performance rating. When it comes to reducing corruption in state government, 23% of New Yorkers, fewer than a quarter, give him a positive job performance rating compared to more than two-thirds, 69%, who give him a negative job performance rating. He gets a 68% negative job performance rating on improving the quality of public education in New York. He gets a 64% negative job performance rating on balancing the needs of both upstate and downstate.
The poll shows New Yorkers by 59% to 33% support the gun control law, the SAFE Act. By 62% to 35%, voters support Cuomo's proposed minimum wage hike to $15 an hour. Common Core is another story. The issue has dogged the governor since its introduction. Last month, Cuomo announced a newly appointed education commission to address problems with Common Core.
As a parent, I believe our education system tests our students too often and for too long. And we should relieve the unnecessary pressure on our children that detracts from the time spent learning. There is no doubt that tests or assessments have a role in education. I understand that. But I think that the number of tests should be reduced.
Greenberg says New Yorkers haven't changed their minds. They're unhappy with Common Core.
Only 21% of voters say that Common Core standards have improved public education in New York. Nearly twice that number, 40%, say Common Core has worsened public education in New York. Another 21% say it's had no impact.
There's a link to the full Siena poll at WAMC.org.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Giustina. Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Alan, a new Siena poll out this week shows New Yorkers support two of Governor Cuomo's policies. That's the $15 an hour minimum wage and the SAFE Act gun law. But voters are lukewarm about the governor. The poll finds 41% rate Cuomo's job performance as excellent or good, while 58% say it's fair or poor.
Well, Cuomo has a problem, and that is that the genie is out of the bottle. And, you know, once people start not to like your performance, it's hard to get that genie back into that bottle. And his personal popularity, by the way, is still hovering around 50%. So, you know, he's not really in trouble there. But you can believe that this kind of an announcement that people are not happy with your policies is going to have an effect on the way you behave. And we see it already. Guys moving left. The popular stuff is things like what you just mentioned. The popular stuff is minimum wage and things of that kind. This was a fiscally conservative governor when he came into office. And by moving to the left, perhaps he saw something when Zephyr Teachout, who was an unknown, ran against him and did extraordinarily well with no money in the last primary. His numbers went down. He got a million fewer votes than he did the first time. And so he's in a spot where he has to listen very carefully and keep his ear to the ground. And I think that that's what he's doing right now. Let's see if it helps him. Upstate, of course, the gun stuff, he's not popular. However, the overall, and this shows what a master politician he is, the overall number of people who want to do something about guns in New York is incredible, especially in New York City. So I think he's got a good one there, and I think, frankly, he's courageous to continue to pursue it.
And what about education, Alan? He has called for a review of the Common Core. We see a panel now set up to review teacher evaluations. Seems like he has his ear to the ground and now listening to folks on that side.
Well, in the beginning, he was all for, you know, tightening things up and using these tests, which are the basis of Common Core, which have caused all the problems. He was all for the whole thing. And that's the way that he was going to discipline the teachers and get rid of the bad teachers. The teachers, of course, were furious about it, I think appropriately so. And he now, I think when I just said a million fewer votes, a lot of them were teachers and teachers' families and others in New York. So he got his comeuppance on that. And now he's saying, uh-oh, I don't want to be any part of this. And he's running for the hills and saying, let's get rid of that evil Common Core.
Presidential election, Hillary Clinton was in New York, established a number of New York Democrats to serve on her committee here for her election. And one was left off the list. That's New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. Although he says now he will endorse Clinton, it looks like any day now, or at least by December.
As you know, I have made a point on this program again and again, and I think the craziest thing I've seen in politics in a long time is this sort of mutual destruction between the governor and de Blasio. I blame the governor more, by the way. I think the governor has been the pusher of this fight. And nevertheless, people don't like de Blasio because they consider him a progressive mayor in New York at a time when they're worried sick about violence, increasing murders, and they don't want that. His part, de Blasio sees himself as the next big guy when it comes to progressive politics in the United States, and that hasn't caught fire for him. So now we hear stories and see that he's back in the Bloomberg camp saying good things about his old nemesis, Bloomberg, who came to symbolize the sort of, you know, elitist running of New York City. This guy takes one look at this situation and says, uh-oh, I need a friend. He sure doesn't have it in Andrew Cuomo, and as much as possible now, he's honoring Bloomberg. And I'm delighted because I'm a big Bloomberg fan.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Giustina. Two villages in New York's North Country will cease to exist at the end of 2016 following votes this week in which residents decided to dissolve their communities. We get more from the Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley.
In the St. Lawrence County village of Herman, 110 of the village's 215 registered voters cast ballots. They decided 95-15 to allow the town of Herman to absorb the village. While the numbers seem small, Village Mayor Kathy Race says 51% is a large turnout.
Normally, during just a typical election when there's not a whole lot going on, if we get 80, we're doing well. So the outcome that we had and 110 voters showing up makes me feel very confident that it is what people wanted and it is something that we need to keep moving forward with.
The vote does not mean the Village of Herman immediately dissolves. Leaders have until the end of 2016 to complete their dissolution plan, according to Mayor Race.
It's going to be a lot of detailed stuff that we need to address. We have to go through a lot of the laws. Some of them that are in there we discovered through the dissolution process are outdated and not needed, so everything has to be updated. Ownership of property and all that kind of stuff has to be taken care of and deeded over to the town. We have to make sure that the sewer and the lighting and the water districts are all set, change of ownership done, those type of things.
In the Essex County village of Port Henry, 60.5% of eligible village residents voted 190-171 to approve dissolution. The idea to shut down village government originated from a citizen petition circulated by Jeff Kelly and James Curran. Kelly says it came down to taxes.
The taxes are incredibly high, and it was the two of us going around the doors. It was a little contentious, but we won. The taxes will go down. I think it's all for the better because, you know, we were paying a lot more than any other town around us.
Port Henry also has until the end of 2016 to complete its dissolution. But because it was initiated through a citizen petition, there's a different approach. Village trustee and deputy mayor Matt Brassard explains they have 180 days to develop a dissolution plan.
After the 180 days, we're required to hold a public hearing on that plan. After that public hearing, the public can force a vote on the plan. It's the position of New York State that if that plan is defeated, the dissolution process stops and the village would stay a village.
Brassard adds that a village has never reached that stage. With the move decided by just 19 votes in Port Henry, he believes it could happen there.
The people that voted to keep the village, they've called the office asking, is there a way to stop this? So I fully expect another vote on this.
The village of Port Henry would be absorbed into the town of Moriah if it dissolves.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Several recreational trails in the Southern Adirondack region have received funding for improvements. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard explains.
There's only a few more weeks to enjoy recreational trails throughout the region without snowshoes or cross-country skis. Now hikers and bikers in Saratoga and Warren counties will see some of their favorite trails expanded or improved as new grants give a boost to several projects. The Saratoga County Board of Supervisors this week announced $100,000 in grants included in this year's budget that will support trail projects throughout the county. Board Chair Matthew Veach.
And they're from trails everywhere from the town of Corinth to the city of Saratoga Springs to the city of Mechanicsville. So we kind of cover the entire county from north to south with our grant program.
Eight projects will be supported by matching grants of $12,500. Veach said the trail improvements are important to ensuring quality of life in a fast-growing county.
You know, as a county that's growing with suburban developments and other kinds of, development, to kind of balance that with good recreational opportunities and trails is really a great thing for Saratoga County and something we should keep doing this year and in years into the future.
A trail project in Corinth that has been in the works for several years will get a boost. The joint project between the town and Village of Corinth will connect a new train depot with the Village Upper Reservoir property. Village Mayor Dennis Morrell.
The village has about almost 500 acres on our reservoir property that we are going to use for recreational purposes. And what we'd like to do is join the train station with the reservoir property and then looking at bringing another trail from the train station back into the village.
The trail project comes after major repairs made to the reservoir dam. Corinth Town Supervisor Richard Lucia.
You know, it's a family place to hike, to walk, nature walks, cross country, fishing for the kids, a beautiful spot for kids to fish. We're going to, enhance that.
On the other end of the spectrum is a connector trail in Saratoga Springs that will connect South Broadway with the Greenbelt Trail. It was also announced this week that the Warren County town of Queensbury will receive a $100,000 state grant to develop a recreational trail along Halfway Brook. The proposed project, in cooperation with the city of Glens Falls, would build two parking lots on either end of the trail and connect Aviation and Peggy Ann Roads. The trail system would also connect with the town's popular Rush Pond Way Trail. Town Supervisor John Strout.
Every season offers its own beauty, and they love it. It's easy to traverse. They love it. You can do it on bicycle. You can do it walking. You can take your pets with you, So now we want to create a Halfway Brook Trail. We're negotiating, going about that. The city's looked on that very favorably, and we're working with the city because it goes through their watershed, and it goes over the famous Halfway Brook.
For more information on the trail projects, visit WAMC.org. I'm Lucas Willard.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1544. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.